The theme for this sermon is the Lord reconfirms the promises to Abram to Jacob. And then we will look first to Isaac's blessings and prayer, the second to the promise of the Lord, and third to the answer of Jacob. Thus the Lord reconfirms the promise of Abram to Jacob. First, Isaac's blessing and prayer to Jacob. Second, the promise of the Lord. And third, the answer of Jacob. But first, we will seek God's faith in prayer. Lord, Thou art holy. Thou art giving us also this night an opportunity that we can come together in this building to worship Thy name. May we pray that we in and through Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, may receive opening to Thee, O God, when we come to Thee with all of us, in all our needs, in all our whatever is a burden to us, or whatever is a joy to us. It can be that we are here with a full heart to bring thanks to Thee for what Thou had done and had worked in the past. But it is also possible that there are there who are in need, who are in misery, who are looking forward unto Thee, till that the time will be there that Thou art looking in mercy upon them. O Lord, may we pray, wilt Thou open heaven and grant us that we may receive the leading, the guidance of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may see with eyes of faith in and through Thy word what Thou hast prepared for those who have nothing in themselves, who have only to bring on a lost situation as a lost sinner. O Lord, wilt Thou work mightily? Wilt Thou grant us that in Thy pleasure, that also this night, that our souls may be quickened, that souls may come to life, may awake out of the sleep of death, the spiritual death, that, Lord, also today, that there may be joy in heaven because of people who come to conversion. We pray for the children, for the children in school, when they are going to school, and Thou knowest how it is and what problems they have. O Lord, that with all concerns, with all worries, that they may go to Thee for time, but above all, also for eternity. We pray for those who are sick, who are suffering, who are in need. O Lord, remember them in mercy, and that all things may work together for good. We pray especially for Thomas Heikop, who need to have a surgery tomorrow. O Lord, wilt Thou lead the hands of the doctor, that he may be healed, that also this may be a means in Thy hand to bring him unto Thee and the parents as well, that we may see that all things have to work together for good. O Lord, remember the homes, the work in prison, there where they are because of the one or other transgression, that they may see it what they have done, but also that they may see that Thou art the Savior who came to this earth to cleanse souls, those who have to confess that they have sinned against Thee. And they are not only in prison, they are also in this world who are free from prison, but Lord, in our nature, then we live in the prison of sins. But will thou also today, also in this time, set free souls from sins, souls from bonds of whatever they may lead and may bring them in prison. We pray thee also for this evening. O Lord, grant us opening when we have to preach thy word, that we may do it according thy word, that we may be a means in thy hand to be a blessing to others. Remember this place, the work of evangelism, of mission. O Lord, especially those who have to work many times in difficult situations, many times when all is against, because when we may work according thy word, it will be according our flesh and according the flesh, against the flesh of those where among whom we work. O Lord, that also now thy work may be seen, thy name will be praised and glorified in all what thou art doing and working. We pray for the government, for the president of this country, for all those who are working in the government, whether in this place or in also as in the state, in the government, that they may rule this country according thy word, for thy honor and glory. Lord, we pray for the work in Malawi and in South Africa, that also there may be seen that thou art working, also there where they live in darkness, where it is many times so difficult in many ways, but thou art God. O Lord, remember in mercy that those who are in darkness, that they may come to that light that is in thee, that thou art giving, that also there the black people not only may see that they are black, but that they are also see that they have a black soul as all of us, that can be cleansed by thee, that the gospel may be spread, that there may be openings, that Satan will be set aside, and that thy name will be praised also there. O Lord, remember us also this evening, that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, do you believe that God's promises don't change? And I can add to that, do you believe that God's word don't change and will not change? When you look to you and to me, then our words or promises so many times change or will not fulfill completely. We give promises that will not come out or will not be done sometimes. But when the Lord will promise you or us, then he will fulfill it. And this morning we have seen it, how he had fulfilled all the promises that are given, that the Messiah would come. And he came and is come. And we see it also today, that God is fulfilling the promises that he has given, for example, to the apostles when they were sent out, that the Lord promised them that he would be always with them, even to the end of the time. And not only were that promises given to the apostles, but also to all his servants who have to go out in this world to spread the gospel. And God is fulfilling that even today. But a big question is, are the promises that God had given in His Word, then are they for you or for me? I will give you an example what sometimes will be done. For example, you find in the Word in Luke 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And there are people that says, yes, I am a sinner. I have seen that I have sinned against God. And I know out of the Word, when I look in Luke 19, that the Lord Jesus came for lost sinners. Now I am a lost sinner. Then I may believe that He also came for me. But that is not true necessarily, because there is more, we need more than only to know out of the Bible that He came for lost sinners. We have to put a few questions first. What does it mean that you say I am a lost sinner? Do you have that sorrow, that deep sorrow about your sins, that you have sinned against God? And do you know the working of the Holy Spirit, that He gave and worked faith in you, that you may know that your sins are forgiven, that He indeed came for you personally, that you as lost sinners may know that He is your Savior, so that you in faith may say, He is my King and my God. It is in that case, when they speak in that way, they forget the working of the Holy Spirit. Then they see it as something what they can do themselves. Then it is a work of the brain, of the mind. What will then happen with God's promises when we sin? God had given a lot of promises in His Word. But what will happen with those promises when we sin against God? We can make a division in His promises. There are promises, they are conditional. This then, for example, God is setting a condition that you have to do this or that before He will fulfill that promise. But there are also other promises. They are not dependent of conditions on our side. Promises which God had given. For example, whereabout we spoke this morning, that the Messiah would come, when God would have made that conditionally, then would that have meant that nobody could be saved? Because we all are sinners. All believers have sinned against God. What a mercy that God made those promises not dependent of the condition that we would have not sinned against Him. Not one sin can prevent His come to this earth. And we will see also that in the life of Jacob. And we will first look to Isaac's blessing and prayer. When we look to the house of Isaac, then there were problems in that house, because it was not as earlier. Esau hated Jacob because he had received the blessing who was normally given to the firstborn son. But you know how Esau has sold his first birthright for a plate of lentil mousse. He has sold his first birthright. And Jacob knew what that meant. But later on, then we saw that at the time that Isaac felt that he would not live long, and that he had to give the blessing also of to the firstborn son, then they did not look to what happened in the past, but Isaac was asking for Esau, that he would come, and that he could bless him. And we know Rebecca heard it, and she made her plan. She did not bring that problem to the Lord, but she made her own solution. And that is what also we do so many times. When we come in problems, that we don't bring it to the Lord, but that we make our own solutions. And that was what Rebecca did, because when she heard it, she said, "Jacob, come. We have to do something because your father is starting to bless Esau. And that may not happen because you have that first birthright." And she took the clothes of Esau and she made of Jacob and Esau. He had to play the role of Esau with his voice and also in the way that he was behaving himself. Is in that way he deceived Isaac, and Isaac blessed him. And then we see how God is working nevertheless what people is doing, because God is working with his Holy Spirit so that Isaac had to bless Jacob in a way that he received the first birth right blessing, and nobody could change that. It was not Isaac who was determining what he has to do, what he had to do, but he had to do what God wanted him to do. And then when Esau is coming up later on, then he is hearing that he had given that blessing to Jacob, and there is hatred in Esau. There is a day that the mother Rebecca is hearing that Esau has plans to kill him. And she is thinking when he will stay here and Isaac will die, then soon also Jacob will be killed. And she comes with a plan to Isaac, let me send him to Laban, because they knew that there were unmarried daughters, so that he will marry with a daughter out of our people, our family. And Isaac is calling Jacob to send him to Laban to look for the wife in Padan Aram. And there we see how Isaac is calling Jacob, and we can read it in chapter 28 in the beginning, how he is calling him and blessing him, and charged him and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And when we look to the blessing and the prayer, it is more a prayer of Isaac for Jacob. Then we see that he is speaking about the blessing of Abraham. We see how Isaac is standing in the covenant and how he is referring to the blessing that God gave to Abraham. How he is pleading upon the covenant that God made with Abraham. And so we can also speak to you and to us. Are we also pleading upon the covenant that God had given, especially when we have the holy baptism, and what a sign and a seal is of God, that he will be the God of that child, that he is offering that. That is a sign that that child is born in within the church, within the covenant. Are we pleading upon that covenant that God will be merciful that, to that child and convert it, so that it will fear God. Here we see how Isaac is pleading upon that covenant, that Jacob may receive the same blessing as that Abraham had received, and also Isaac. Because he is saying that, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abram to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abram. But here you see how important it is that how we live as parents. That here Isaac is pleading upon what God had promised to Abram. And we can ask ourselves, can we plead upon what God gave to us or to our parents also for the children? This week I heard from a man who God had converted already on a young age. And he said, the first thing what I did, that was that I prayed to God, if God would hear and would answer the prayer that my grandfather already had sent for his generation after him. Thus he was pleading in a sure way upon the covenant that God had made with that generation. And God had heard that prayer and converted that man. And so it is also with us. How do we live? And how did our parents live? That we may plead upon what God had done also in the past for our children and for the children of our children, for the generation after us. Because God is working, and you see that many times also in the world, in the line of the generations. God has his covenant, what he has till in thousand generations, all the time, and he will not forget his own work. Here we see how Isaac is giving that blessing and that prayer at the moment that Jacob had to flee from his country. That country, Israel, was promised by God, was given to Abraham. And now he was in a situation that he, because of his sins, that he had to flee. And then Isaac is here giving and praying that prayer that he will inherit the land where he now is a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. What must that have been an affliction for Jacob when he had to flee to go to Padan Aram, that he had to go away from the promised land. But God will fulfill, and we will see how he has done that later on. When all things are ready, then we see that Jacob, that he is going to Padan Aram. It must be about 480 miles from the place Beersheba where they were. And they had to walk, and when the day was gone and he had to sleep, and he was looking for a place to sleep. There was no lodge in that time. And he looked for a few stones that he could use as a pillow and made that to a place where he could sleep. And then we will look to the promise, how God was giving Jacob a promise. Because when he was sleeping there, then we see that God is using a dream to speak to Jacob. Because there Jacob is seeing in that dream a ladder from the earth to heaven, and whereof the top was reaching heaven. And he is seeing how the angels are coming down, ascending and descending, and how the Lord stood above it, and how the Lord spoke to him. And he said, I am the Lord God of Abram, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And then it goes on, the land whereon thy lies, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. But what we see is that God made himself known with his covenant name. And that we see many times in the Old Testament. And then it starts with the Lord. The Lord, God of Abram and Isaac, the Lord who had bowed down to the people of Israel, to Abram and to Isaac, who was in and through Jesus Christ, was merciful to them. So he is approaching them, he is speaking to them, and he is explaining who he is and what he will do to the generation of Abraham. And it is the same what I have said about baptism. Are we also so wrestling with God about that covenant that God had made with Abraham till the day of today? We see here that God is confirming his work. This morning we spoke a moment how God will speak in the life of believers, how he many times is confirming his own work. Then it can be that you read his words in the week and that it is doing power to your soul, and that God is confirming that, that every time that it is coming back, that the pastor is preaching about it, or that in another book that you read that it is coming back, that you feel that it is God who is using that text or that word to speak to your soul. And that is also here, that God is confirming that what Isaac had spoken to Jacob. He is confirming his own work. And here you see it, how he is strengthening, how he is working that faith in Jacob before he had to go to Padan Aram. Before that he had to go there to flee for his life because of his own sin. And we don't know, but maybe that he felt himself very miserable, and it must. Because here he is there, and God is speaking to him. And God is encouraging him. God is telling him that the same blessing that he gave to Abram, that he is coming back now to Jacob. He is speaking about that land. He had to flee. Let's say all circumstances are against. But God is confirming the same promise that this land, that God will give it to Jacob, to his generation, to his seed. And that he receives the promise that that seed, and now he is alone, he must be about 77 years, he is alone, he is not married, has no children, and he received the promise that he will receive so many that he can't tell, that he will multiply that generation, and God will be with them. Because it is not only that he will grow to a big people, and that is a big blessing, but the most big blessing that you find in that blessing is that all the families of the earth will be blessed. We live in a time of Christmas. And already here in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, there you see the promise that the Lord Jesus would come, that the Messiah would be born. And we have heard it this morning. How he came. How, when the time was full, how God came down. How he sent his angel with that message to Mary. And how he fulfilled his promise. You see, God let not fall one word of all what he is doing and saying that we see also here. Because Jacob is receiving that promise that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And it is remarkable that you also find here, and behold, I am with you. The same as with Mary. I am with you. When the Lord will speak to you, I am with you, then you may know that your relation is restored, that your sins are forgiven, that there is peace between God and your soul, that God will care for you, not only today, but also for tomorrow, for your life, and for the life after your life, eternal, an everlasting eternity. I am with you. It is the most big blessing that you can receive in your life. When God will speak to you, I am with you. If you are living in Grand Rapids or living in Africa, it is the same. When God is with you, who will be against you? Then you will lift his path. Then you may set his footsteps. Here we see, I am with you and will keep you in all places with it. Thou goest and will bring you again into this land. Dus hier, God is filling in. He is explaining what that does mean. That God says, I am with you. Because he has to travel through a strange area. There are robbers. There are all kinds of dangers, wild animals, that the Lord says to Jacob, I am with you. And we know when God will speak that, then you are sure that it is necessary that God is saying that, that you will meet problems, difficulties, or that you will come in big tribulations. And we know later on, it was Laban who had plans to kill him, but he could not. In all places, wherever you may go, and I will bring you back into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Dus hier already he is receiving the promise that God will go with him through Paddan Aram, through a country where all kinds of idols are. We know how also Rachel had her idols. And that in that country had Jacob to go alone, according to his human being. But God was with him. And then you are not alone. Then you can go. Then you can work. Then you can be. Because you may know that God will be the first. That God will be with you. That he will not leave. That it is as if he will say, be not afraid. Because in whatever situation you will come, I will be with you. And maybe that you say, how is it possible that God is blessing him so much? And maybe that Jacob himself has saw that. How is it possible that God is so merciful that he will be with me? Me who have deceived my father, Isaac, who have done in that way, in a sinful way. But here we see that God is working his plan, and for sure Jacob has been humbled very much. And God is not forgetting one sin. He had to confess it. He had to come to the Lord to humble himself. But God is going his way, and all things have to work together. Also our sins, although that we have to be sorrowful about every sin. And that is what we also see here in the life of Jacob. And we can ask, how is it with you? How is it with us? What a mercy that our sins cannot hinder the work of God. Because when God would do with us according our sins, then he could not be merciful to nobody. Then he had to forget us. But God is not forgetting, because he is working his work. He is gathering around the world. He is fulfilling all his promises till that his house will be filled, till that his work will be done. And so, how is it with you and with me? Are we wrestling with God that he will work his work also in your and our heart? The answer of Jacob. When Jacob waked, then you see that Jacob, that he knew that God was on that place, that he had an impression. And so it is always when God will speak to you in whatever way, then he will give you also that you may know that it is God who is speaking to you. Because he, although he is not understanding it, he surely, the Lord is in this place. And we see more there that he is seeing this is a house of God. We have been together today and every Sunday. Did you have an experience that you said after the service, yes, God was in this place. He spoke to my soul. It was really the house of God. Because that you experienced that. Here Jacob did experience it. And he was afraid. He felt how majesty God was, how high. And he felt that he, a sinner. There are people, they say and they think, that Jacob here came to conversion. I doubt. I believe that it was earlier. Because you saw in his life that he was obeying his parents, that he was, that the hunger to have that first birthright. I believe that he saw what was connected with that. But it does not matter. Here he is seeing that it was a house of God, that God was there, that God had spoken to him, I will not leave you, that he knew and that he believed that it was God who said it to him. And that he could go in this way. Now he could go to Padan Aram. Now he did not need anyone than God alone. God was promising him, and he will fulfill all things. He had seen how the angels came down and how the angels went up. He had heard what God was speaking to him. Although God used this, the means of a dream, but God had understood. And we can see it in the way that he was answering, because he is taking the stones, he is putting them together, he is making a remembrance. And that not only he is making an altar of it and pouring out his oil. You see there that Jacob has felt, that he has known that it was God there who spoke to him. But do we also understand when God is speaking to you, to me? Here, Jacob, he knew it, and he is calling the name of that place Bethel, house of God. And so it is every place, and it can also be at your home, and I hope that when you are together as family, and you are reading the Bible or praying, and God is giving his presence, that you may say sometimes, now it is the house of God, because God is there. He is working by his Holy Spirit through what you read or what you pray and speaking to your heart. And then you will experience that God is with you also there. Jacob, he knew it, that God had spoken to him. And that is the next part that we see, that Jacob vowed a vow, that he is answering God, not only in that he made an altar, but also in the promise, in the confession that he did, and in the promise that he made. Because we see there that he is saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Is there you, and it goes on, that he also shall give surely the tenth unto the Lord. Did you see here that God is working in his soul, and that he is reacting in that way, that he is making a vow? Sometimes then people is afraid to promise God, because the more uncovery and discovery that you have to be a sinner, the more that you are afraid to promise. But I have heard sometimes that Pastor Veltman was saying, I ask you to promise that you can add depth to your life, not because of the sins, but when we feel our debts, when it will be humble ourselves, then there is a way of reconciling, of forgiving. Here you see that Jacob was promising, that he was vowing a vow. And what vows did we do unto God? Have we vowed our vows to him? In the past months, I have seen that sins, that you can say when sins are forgiven, then the sins are away. But that also discipline is necessary. For example, when you have David, and when he sinned against Bathsheba, that his sins were forgiven. But also how God disciplined him how that child, what was born, the first child of Bathsheba, how it had to die. How there came that the sword did not go away from his house, how Absalom was killing Amnon because of Tamar. How he himself had to flee later on because of Absalom. Then you see that God cannot skip sins. Although he will forgive, he has to discipline. And that is, sin is asking for punishment, also in the life of the believers. But the most important thing is that we may know that there is a Savior also for you and for my sins. We have received so many blessings. Also as congregation, we have been for 3 years with you, and it went down to almost nothing. And God had blessed you that we may be with so many as we are here. But what is yours? What is our answer? What is the vow that God, that you want to do to God? I hope that a part of that vow will be that you will pray for this congregation, that she may build up in faith. But not only the congregation itself, but also that others will come to this congregation. And that the other part of the vow may be prayer for the mission here in this city, the evangelism work, but also for the mission in Malawi. The work is in ourselves impossible. And we see upon our strengths, what is now strength? Up our wisdom, what is now wisdom? But that God will work his work, and that we may be a means in that. That you may vow that vow. Not the tenth is the first importance, but that vow to pray for his work, that his work may be extended. In Malawi, that I'm working in the RPC, the Reformed Presbyterian Church, that are 110 congregations. At this moment, there are 4 evangelists, and they know less than an average elder here in America and in this church. They have to work in 110 congregations. You will understand what an impossible task that is. And there is one in preparation that we teach for the work what he has to do. When you look to those 110 congregations, I have seen yesterday and today how many children here. Children who may hear the gospel every week, who may be taught at home. I have seen it there. When the parents don't know, how can they teach the children? And then all those children who are not coming in a church, who are not hearing the gospel, who don't know who is God, who don't know his promises. And then I look to the children's home where I live and where I am pastor director. We have 105 children in 8 houses. There are 125 children coming every day for a meal from Monday to Friday. We come in contact, although it is less, in outreach areas that are committees around our place, and there we meet about 1,600 children who, more or less through the guardians. There is the evangelism work, where you have also many children and many people. Yeah, that is my prayer and my question. I hope that first you may be filled so much with what God is and will work, that you will vow your vow, and that part of that vow will be that His work may grow and may be extended also in Malawi, in Grand Rapids, and wherever God will work. If it is in China, in South Africa, or wherever His church is, and wherever our souls and the dead seal who has to be gathered, who has to brought to Jesus Christ to be saved by Him. Oh, that nobody will stay behind, that nobody has to live and to die without Him. That we pray in Jesus' name for all of us, for you and for our families. Amen. We will close with prayer. Lord, at the end of this day, we come to Thee to thank Thee for all what Thou hast given, that we had an opportunity to meet each other again under Thy word, that Thy word may be blessed unto the souls, that promises may be given and may be fulfilled, and that vows may be promised to Thee. O Lord, build Thy kingdom, and that also here and wherever Thy work is, that may be seen that Thy house is not yet full. O Lord, grant us what we need to fulfill that task. Remember this congregation, especially when a call will go out, O Lord, that it may be in Thy favor. Remember Pastor Buddy, that also he may receive that light what he needs to know what is Thy will to be done, that whatever Thou wilt do, that Thy kingdom may grow and may come, and Thy name may be hallowed. O Lord, remember this congregation, the children, the elders and the deacons, and grant them that they may experience that Thy favor may be upon them, and that we may see and hear of Thy great works that will glorify Thy name. That we pray in Jesus' name.